It was about creating and telling the stories of what we had right then and there that often gets forgotten about, because as we tell a story orally, those stories change. I can tell you one thing. You can tell somebody something else. By the time it gets to the 10th, 15th person, it's not the necessary story that started out. Somebody's added their own twist. Something has changed, and it has turned into something else. Oftentimes, I think that has happened, especially with the stories of Southern University, which is why at one time I think negative stories typically seem to have just made its way around about the institution. You allow people to control the narrative by telling the story the way that they did, and not necessarily as the institution telling this story by broadcasting or holding itself accountable, even if wrong is done. And I believe you have to do it whether it's good or bad. That's accountability. And the institution should have accountability, especially if you want to grow the enrollment, if you want the alumni engagement. It both comes with good and bad. But that was one of the things, and especially as the SWAC, so much history and so many great people, not just athletics, but in the world of academia, that we have allowed a great history to get past us with nobody archiving it to keep that legacy and to keep that close to us, to where we can continue to tell that to the next generation, to where they won't think, I never heard of that person. I didn't know how to relate to that. And for me, that is a hard pill to swallow, especially when I look over. I always tell people this story. I went to LSU Auburn. All the young people I saw wearing Bo Jackson. They weren't even born with Bo Jackson. But, you know, it is a legacy that has been archived and a history that has continued to be told that creates pride to this day. We have so many that have created legacy and substantial history that we don't even tell our stories.
Well, I think the critical thing is what I'm learning as it relates to the students that I now interact with, who are now incoming freshmen and undergraduate students as opposed to law students, and even with respect to law students, is they don't have a sense of history. And even in terms of people that are working at Southern University, they don't have a sense of history of the importance of Southern University. So I always take the time to talk about why Southern University began.
Mm-hmm.
And who was at the forefront of the creation of Southern University. And one of those individuals was Pinckney Benton Stewart Pinchback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people don't necessarily understand who Pinchback was. But Pinchback was a leader who made sure that Southern University was created, especially after the end of the Civil War during Reconstruction, when there was a reordering of power within the state, and freed African Americans were now in a position to make things happen. And one of the things he tried to do is to make sure that African Americans had access to education, especially higher education, and he tried to do it through LSU, and that was impossible. So he realized that he needed to pivot, and so he made sure that there was a place for Southern University and to put it in the Constitution and in the legislation. So that's how we have Southern University today. We started in 1880 in New Orleans. It's because of people like PBS Pinchback. And the reality is that without him building that foundation, then Southern University could not have become a land-grant institution 10 years later, which most people don't understand the significance of land-grant institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because higher education was exclusively in the domain of the very wealthiest people in America.
Mm-hmm.
Now higher education becomes available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Southern University has been part of that history. And even when Southern University was shut down in New Orleans and eventually relocated to Baton Rouge, that was a two-year process. And the significance of the land grant status was so important that the federal government refused to give LSU, which is another land-grant institution in the state of Louisiana. We're the only place in America where there are two land-grant institutions in the same city.
Mm.
1862 land-grant institution, 1890 land-grant institution. They withheld the funds from the state of Louisiana until that happened,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay? And when you think about that, okay, when you think about that, that's important. So Southern University ends up here in Baton Rouge in 1914. Now, here's a great thing. J.S. Clark was the winner of that lottery, if we'll call it. But J.S. Clark was a man who had created a college here that was on Government Street.
Hmm.
All right? So there was a college here. People were creating colleges.
Yeah, because I hear a story about Leland College.
And Leland. People were creating colleges because they recognized the importance of education mm-hmm. for people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got to change Baton Rouge, all right? And where was Southern placed? Southern was placed on the bluff, the highest point in Baton Rouge. There's so much significance in that. Why? Because we sit overlooking the Mississippi River. Southern is the only higher education institution that sits on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. Think about that. The Mississippi River, which is the gateway to commerce throughout the whole country, mm-hmm. Southern University sits on the bank. And not only that, in the bend, as you come across the campus and you get on Harding Boulevard, and you see the bend of the river. When the French explorers came down the river, mm-hmm. they noticed that red pole, all right? And they noted the point as Baton Rouge because that was the traditional hunting ground of the United Homa tribe. Mm-hmm. And there was blood from the animals that had been killed, and they hung them out there to dry, out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We're sitting at the point of Baton Rouge, the point of the city of Baton Rouge. It begins at Southern University. And then that land.
This has been Johnson Till.
This is KAYT-FM. 81 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana. Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Over again. Every decade, we produce leaders
mm-hmm.
that change America. Period. That's the reality. I can think of two women right now. When people talk about women who are leading America, you know, everybody talks about the great Vice President Harris.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Claire Babineau Fontenot, all right,
mm-hmm.
graduate of Southern University Law Center, who leads Feeding America and during the pandemic, the most important organization,
mm-hmm.
the people that were food challenged, was Feeding America. We've got Dr. Courtney Phillips, who has been a Secretary of Health in three different states, Nebraska, Texas, Louisiana, graduate of Southern University.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. That's the legacy of Southern University. You ought to read the book by Dr. Charles Vincent, which chronicles the history of Southern University, or Dr. Gibson, Everett Gibson, who chronicles.
I have it.
All right. All right. And all those particular things, when you read that stuff, you have to be inspired.
It is inspiring.
Okay? And that's the key. The key is, regardless of resources, inspiration
mm-hmm.
is what leads us. You have to be inspired to do this. I tell people, what I do is mission work. I am a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
I am bringing the gospel of higher education, all right, to people who have not heard, okay?
I told you got a call in there.
All right?
I told you.
We're taking the two loaves of bread and the two fish and five loaves of bread, and we're feeding thousands of people.
Yeah.
Because we have to do this from an inspirational standpoint.
Yep.
Because, unfortunately, we will never get all the resources
yeah.
that we need, but we always have to keep fighting for those resources.
We do. Hey, Mike, let's get ready to take a break, and we come back on the other side. We're going to get ready to close things out with you. A couple questions I want to ask. I think that'll kind of bring us home and land the plane. So you guys stay tuned. Hope you enjoy it. That is John Pierre, Chancellor of Southern University Baton Rouge Campus. I'm Perry White. It's the Jaguar Journal. We'll be right back.
Darius Skelton has really had this wave of momentum for Southern.
Yeah, first-year player in this program. I love his decision-making. He makes quick decisions, particularly when running the run-pass option game. That's his specialty. He's been an impact for this offense since he took over as starting quarterback.
Well, Darius Skelton is a dual-threat quarterback. He can throw the football. He's very good at throwing the ball down the field. We're going to work on this spring, those intermediate passes, but down the field, he's one of the better down the field passes that I've seen.
Hawkins. Skelton going for it all. Has a man, and hauling it in is Hunter Register.
And then when you talk about running ability, he has running back capabilities. He can go the distance. He has the speed to go the distance. He has the power, and he has the vision. And I think when you put that with a dual threat quarterback, I think he's the reason why we're so happy about this coming season.
Skelton feeling the pressure. Skelton eludes a couple of tacklers. He's still on his feet. Oh, wow. Oh, little shake and bake. Juke move, baby.
Being a quarterback, man, is not easy at all. It was hard being here and having the expectations to be the starter and not being the starter. It was overwhelming. Like, I was ready to play, and not playing when I was ready to play just made me kind of look at life differently and really think, should I be here or should I not? And I talked to God, and he just settled me down, and he told me to be patient. That's what I did.
Skelton, you started the last six games of 2018 for the Jaguars. They went 5-1. Their only loss to Alcorn State in the SWAC title game. Taking the jet sweep, and Skelton awfully good with his leg. Blitz. Catch. Register, the receiver at the bottom of your screen. Nice grab. Watch. All who have had an impact here in the early going. Southern still. As Skelton comes up for the third time. Taking the jet sweep, he'll keep it. A good lead block as he cuts it to the outside. Fake to Ben. Skelton will run. And track him with him for a few yards here. The time, stepping up into the end zone, has registered. First quarter yards, Southern 121, McNeese 40. Fresh set of downs as we begin the second quarter. And looking deep, Skelton for Register!
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our field.
All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everyone. I hope you guys are enjoying today's conversation. I'm Perry White. Chancellor John Pierre here with us in the studio, Southern University Baton Rouge campus. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Everybody listening across the capital city area this morning, and as well as watching us on our YouTube and Facebook. Hey, go hit that subscribe button, hit that follow button. It is free. Just need your support and your love. Chancellor Pierre, before, as we get ready to land this thing, you know, this is the part where the pilot comes on and say, hey, fasten your seatbelts, put up your trays. We're about to get ready to make our land, our descent into Baton Rouge, right, where the temperature is hot. All right, so, but nonetheless, let's talk about the vision for you and whether it's a 3, 5, 10-year vision plan of what this campus can be under your leadership. I'm very curious to hear, and I'm sure the board and many others are part of this process of hiring, you have heard it, but for the masses of people that's out there listening this morning, for Chancellor John Pierre of the Southern University Baton Rouge campus, what is your vision? And break that vision down, if you can, into years or overall.
Well, the vision is simply this. The Southern University and A&M College is a place where transformational leaders are created. And that's very, very important. That means that we have to talk about transformation at all levels, whether it be how we treat each other, what kind of support services we provide to the students, transformational housing, transformational athletics, transformational education program. The key is transformation. Transformational impact on community. The key is transformation. That's the word of the day. We have to be transformational. Otherwise, we are useless. We can't sit back and watch the action. We have to create the action. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about that, that means we've got to improve what we do. We've got to think about ways to improve our infrastructure. We've got to improve the way we are thought of and relevant. We have a whole K through 12 operation, mm-hmm. PK through called Southern University Laboratory School. And the history behind that school is that Southern University educated people from elementary through college. Mm-hmm. And we have people that are really exceeding expectations in doctoral programs. We've got an executive leadership program, for example, that really is important, PhD program in the Nelson Mandela School of Government. What an awesome responsibility to have the name of Nelson Mandela.
That's my building right there.
On your campus. A great transformational leader. You can't do this without the idea of transformation.
Yeah.
And transformation has to occur, be in everybody's sight at all times. Transformational nursing and allied health.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to think about that. We have a great need to close the health equity issue. Transformational areas like business, science and engineering, the arts, education. There's a great teacher shortage in America, and we've got to be part of the transformation to close that gap in terms of teacher shortage. So when we look at that, the word of the day is transformation.
Transformation. How do we transform what we felt and we dealt with a long time in terms of customer service?
Well, the key is you got to get down to the basic level and talk to folks and say, look, everything you do is important, and it starts with me. I've got to be able to say it's important. We have got to treat students well. We've got to answer the phone. We've got to return calls. We've got to talk to folks.
Because we've kind of created a badge of honor of, because of all the runaround, is if you can survive Southern, you can survive. How many times have you heard that?
Listen.
If you can survive at Southern, you can survive everywhere because of the process.
I tell people the greatest educational experience I ever had was at Southern University because everything else was easy. And I've heard that story. There's an alum of ours named Eric Clavel.
Uh-huh.
He's over at Norfolk State University. And he and his wife, Michelle Clavel, got an opportunity when I went to Hampton, and people were looking for some folks. And I said, I got a couple for you that if you will give them the opportunity, they will lead. And they went to Hampton, and they laughed. They said, what, these problems at Hampton, this is nothing. These are first world problems.
Okay, yeah, you talk about the transformation, and that's one of the areas, you know, how do we grow in these areas that ultimately have kind of been dark spots for us? Because you hear generation after generation, decade after decade, and it's kind of the same story with different people, no matter the age. And it's how do we transform to eventually pull ourselves out of it?
I just have conversations. And here's one of the critical things. When people tell me something is happening, I say, give me a name, give me a U number, give me a contact number. Let's solve this particular problem one thing at a time. But here's the other thing I will say. We also have to create awareness of the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have people decide a week before college starts that they want to go to school and expect that things will be ready for them when they come.
Yeah.
All right. We got to get people on early,
mm-hmm.
which is why I was so frustrated about what was happening with the FAFSA, because here's what we know. Traditionally, our students make those decisions at the last minute. Sometimes they're not even thinking about college. It takes somebody to talk to them about college and where they go to college and so forth and so on. So we've got to break some of those habits so that we can be prepared, but at the same time, we've got to recognize that that's our customer base. And this should be no surprise to us that somebody this weekend will decide that they want a college and will go to college. And they'll call us or they'll show up and say, I want to go to college. Where do I sign up? What do I do? We got to say, okay, you're here. We're going to help you get to where you need to be. And we're going to put you in the right direction. Because here's the thing we don't know. We don't know who that person will become.
That's it. Simple as that. Let me ask you this. What needs can the alumni and stakeholders do to help you as well as the institution right now?
Well, critically, we need funding for students. Any type of aid for students, helping them be able to afford college. And here's the big thing. Everybody always likes to give money to the superstar student with above 3.0, above a certain level ACT. But there's that student that's a 15 or a 16 ACT, maybe with a 2.5 GPA, that needs the help also. Because TOPS is a great program, but it doesn't hit the mark with all of the students that we need. because everybody is not going to have access to TOPS curriculum. And unfortunately, the people who receive TOPS are typically the people who don't need that kind of assistance. And we've got to change that mindset.
Currently, let me ask you this, and this is for the people that always talk about Southern and its politics. Politically, in-house at Southern, does politics get in the way of progression for us?
No. I'm going to tell you why. Because you have to understand that when you're an institution like Southern and you're a mission-driven institution, it's the mission that counts. Mm-hmm. Politics might affect some decisions, but it doesn't affect the day-to-day stuff that you got to do. And it's the day-to-day stuff that you do that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. It's that day-to-day grind. And so whatever people say about politics, and I'll tell you, I stay away from the politics, but I understand the politics.
Yeah.
You have to understand the politics because it will help guide you into how to get things done.
Yeah.
You always have to say, we will get it done. It's the question of how we get it done. So the idea that politics is a big elephant in the room and we can't do anything because of politics, that's an excuse.
Yeah.
That's bull.
Yeah. And I hear it all the time, you know, and that's why it's best to have that conversation and stop letting people control the narrative and create these. And that's what I talk about for so long, because when you typically bring that up, people shy away from it. But then when you shy away from it, you let other people then control the narrative.
Right.
If you come out and you speak on it, you say, hey, well, this, you get to say, well, I heard it. This is what's going on. Because like you say, you want to be personal. How personal are you going to be now interacting with students and faculty this semester?
Very personal. I've always been. I mean, you got to know where students are from. You got to know that somebody's from Moorville in Navarro's Parish. Mm-hmm. You got to know that somebody's from Sterlington up in North Louisiana. You got to let them know that you know where that place is. You got to know.
Or Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Come on.
Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
That's it.
That's exactly right. Paducah, Kentucky. Yeah. All those places.
Let me ask you this. What new projects will we start to see pop up around campus as it pertains to building?
Well, there's a whole master plan, and I need to learn the master plan better than any other, but we're going to have a new welcome center. Mm-hmm. We're talking about an amphitheater. All those things are happening. And I have to say, Huey Lawson is doing a great job in helping us really go through that process with Title III funding to help us get to where we need to be. And when we think about that, you'll see little changes. The great thing about these opportunities, a new College of Science building, a new science building, new business building, but all those things take time. Mm-hmm. And there's always something that can interrupt the progress.
What does something like that look like?
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
You got a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put it out there so people can get.
You have all those other. You know, you ought to go to the new Leon R. Tarver Cultural and Heritage Center.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful place. It sits on the river. From inception to creation, it took 25 years.
That's the same way I've been hearing about that alumni center.
Right.
I'm waiting on it.
But it's coming. It's coming. The whole point is this. When you see it come to fruition,
mm-hmm.
you recognize how important it is to keep the dream alive.
Because there's a journey.
There's a journey. Mm-hmm. There's a journey. There's always going to be steps. There are going to be changes in administration at the state level. Some people are going to support higher education more than others. Others are not. All those things are going to happen, but that happens in life.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in life. And that has been happening since 1880. Yet Southern continues to not only exist, but grow. Think about it. It started with an institution in New Orleans, and now Southern University has operations in Shreveport, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and the Ag Center now serves all 64 parishes.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Louisiana.
Yeah. And how right? big has medical marijuana been for us?
Well, medical marijuana has been big, but the legislature changed some things.
Okay.
And, hey, changed the game. So you can't ever rely. There's no one magic bullet.
Yeah.
You got to keep focusing on the evolving change, because as soon as things come up, people are going to say, hey, wait a minute. Let's change the game. The game is always going to change.
Yeah. Is it because we're Southern, or is it just overall?
Part of it is just the economics of it. Look, okay. Listen, do you think the big alcohol companies are going to let medical marijuana take over. All right? Do you honestly think that?
It's a fight.
It's a fight, right? And all those, and when you think about the revenue, when you go to a place like Colorado and you see the revenue that's being created, you know, no matter what people say, well, we're going to only have it for medicinal purposes. No, at some point, everybody's going to have access to it.
Yeah.
All right? Now, the question is, how do we use it? And it does have great medicinal. There are ways to do it. Cannabis can be great as helping us deal with a lot of issues. But what we've got to do is deal with this from an intellectual standpoint, to understand the stuff. Stop listening to the hype. Study. Study. Understand what it's about. So when we think about that, what we're trying to do is we're creating thinkers. Because if we can give people the education they need, they can set forth their own pathway to success. And then they cannot be controlled.
I like that. And I think we'll end on that one right there. Chancellor John Pierre, good to have you here in the studio with us this morning, man. I've enjoyed it. This is not enough time. We can do this for hours, right? Hours. But, you know, we and the thing about it, try to get in so much within such a short time. I know there's a ton of questions, but I love what you're able to do. Give us some history alone, because to know where you're going, you got to know where you come from. And to know where you're at, start somewhere, right? And I think we often forget where we come from. We just try to start now and just act like what happened before in the past didn't exist. Things have to be acknowledged, right? Things have to be worked on. Whether it's good or bad, we have to then acknowledge it, work on it, evaluate it, and then move on and come up with a plan. And I believe that if people, and this is the politics side, when people say, well, can people stay out your way? Can people do this? If your vision comes into fruition, I believe Southern University, if you stick around, stick with us now, within 5 to 10 years, we could be somewhere. And I'm going to ask, can we please, as we get ready to let you go, work on the curb appeal? I like grass and flowers and beautifuls. You feel me?
We're working on curb appeal. We're working on curb appeal. That's exactly right.
That's what it's called, curb appeal. Yeah, you know, when I worked in the student housing business, I worked in the corporate side of student housing as an operations specialist. And I traveled to these different properties, and I helped these properties ultimately, as you talk about occupancy, feel fulfilled to get that 90 to 100%, a lot of properties that they couldn't get. Curb appeal, the number one thing. When you pull up, you automatically know from the moment you look at it if this is a place I even want to stop and get out and take a tour. Because you've driven past some places and was like, you know what? I'm going to keep going. I'm good. Whether it's a gas station or whether it's a restaurant or whether it's a future place that you consider a home or a parent bringing her student, his or her student to college and looking for housing or whatever the case may be. Curb appeal is huge when you talk about just stopping just to at least get your attention. And I think with our campus, we have so many scenic areas. We have to be able to provide that opportunity for students to study out on the grass, or hang out and lounge, and just where it becomes, it almost feels like you're at the park.
Well, here's the critical thing that I always say. When we invite people who have never been to Southern University to see Southern University, they are awestruck at the beauty of the place. And that's the real key. It's all about perspective. You know, I was talking to an alum the other day who's up in Illinois, and he said, you know, I never really realized all the things I had at Southern University in Baton Rouge, so I went somewhere else. So we're like, the prophet is never acknowledged in his own home place. That's what Southern University is.
Thank you, Chancellor Pierre, for coming in this morning, man. I appreciate you. Congratulations on it, and looking forward to what you have in store for us this fall.
I look forward to really helping Southern University be transformed, and that's the key.
All right. Everybody out there, that is Chancellor John Pierre, Southern University Baton Rouge. Thank you for coming in. Let's get ready to take a break. Come back on the side. I'm trying to wake Coach Mark Frederick. So we talk some Southern University football. He's the offensive coordinator. We talk about his first year, how things are shaping up over at Southern University fall football camp. Y'all stay tuned, more to Jaguar Journal. It's On The Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White, and what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
For the first time in the 79-year history of the Southwestern Athletic Conference Elite Championship game determines the overall champion. Today, live from Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, it's the champions of the East, Jackson State, taking on Southern, the champs from the West. Everybody, George Johnson along with Charles Mann, and I gotta tell you, Greg Ball once said this is the way it's supposed to be, and it is. Number 11 Southern taking on number 15 Jackson State. Both programs have won three SWAC titles over a decade, so it's only fitting in the first SWAC championship game you determine the program of the decade. We've got a lot of offense out on the field, and yet this guy right here, he's gonna tell you this game's all about D. It's always
George, you know that.
Yeah, an all-pro defensive end is gonna tell you that. When you think about Jackson State, this is a team that is very potent offensively, but defensively, they led the SWAC throughout most of the year, and they've got the best player in defense in the SWAC, and that's Tommy Head.
Tommy Head, get used to saying that name. You'll say it all day. He'll be all over the field. He's always around the football. He's the leading tackler on this team. He also has 5.5 sacks.
At one point this year, Southern led the nation in scoring defense, and then we ran into Florida A&M. They got a lot of guys out there that can get it done, but at the top of the list is DeMarcus Miller.
DeMarcus Miller, the linebacker coach, Terrence Graves, told me there's one word to describe this kid, and that is relentless. He's only 5'10", 285 pounds. He makes a lot of plays, though.
Relentless, appropriate word for our third member of the broadcast team, and that's Joe Clair, who's standing by down on the sideline. Joe?
Yes, indeed. I'm down here on the field capturing all the pageantry and revelry that is black college football. Birmingham, Alabama is a lovely city. This is the inaugural SWAC championship in their city, so they came out to have a good time. I will be covering the bands, the cheerleaders, shout-outs, all that kind of stuff. Back to you guys up top.
All right, thank you very much, Joe. You know, earlier this year, Southern beat Jackson State, a 4th straight win over the Tigers. But what's most impressive about Southern, they haven't lost a conference game in 25 outings. They put it on the line against Jackson State.
We look at the starting lineups brought to you by Western Union Money Transfer, the fastest way to send money worldwide. You saw the backs. Here's your offensive line. Damon Nivens is a first-team all-SWAC member. Defensively, there's your starting lineups for Jackson State's defense. Chandler, Tommy Head, Edward Reese, pretty good middle linebacker. Rashard Anderson is a professional prospect. They say he will be in the NFL next year. Here's your starting lineup. Brought to you by Western Union. Mark Washington is your quarterback. Destry Wright, the all-time leading rusher in school history, is the tailback. Jeremiah Todd is an all-SWAC selection. All-SWAC team on the offense. And look how many players in this game. Alone, Jackson State with Wright and Morris.
On offense, Kevin it looks Thomas, like Jackson State.
And Jeremiah Todd, why not? They're the number one offense in the conference. These two teams have great defenses, and it's reflected by the all-SWAC team. I mean, 4 players from Jackson State, right. 4 players from Southern.
The punt is going to bounce around midfield, and it looks like it was fumbled again. It's loose, and it's picked up by Southern.
Inaugural game here for SWAC. SWAC has moved his headquarters to Birmingham, and it is just a wonderful game. The excitement is in the air.
And then he's going to throw the football. The free system, the game, no guy. Guy's still on the street. Guy's going to go in. Touchdown! Brian Reynolds.
All right, it is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys have enjoyed that interview. Chancellor John Pierre coming into the studio, talking about Southern University, serving as the chancellor of the Southern University Baton Rouge campus for the first time coming up this fall as he is taking over. Good to have him in and hear some of those. Just having conversation. I think that's most important, the conversation piece, and not shying away from anything. So glad to have him in. And now we're going to keep the conversation going. Very special guest here on the show this morning, Southern University Offensive Coordinator Coach Mark Fredericks. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How you doing, Pierre?
I'm doing good. Turn him up just a little bit for me, Mike. Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Fall camp is upon us. You guys were able to go through spring football, and now we're coming into the fall. The first game is a couple weeks away, and you start to talk about putting this thing together. As always, I love offense, right? So when I look at that side of the ball, man, I look heavily on what you put in, what you're instilling, and what you're ultimately going to have us watching. And what they say, the offense is what sells the tickets, right? The defense wins championships, but the offense sells tickets. But Coach Mark Fredericks, right now, what is fall football camp looking like for your offense? And let's start from the quarterback side because, of course, that's the area everybody wants to circle to figure out. What's going on with Southern University quarterbacks?
It's going well, man. We've had a good camp so far. Today we'll have our second scrimmage, and hopefully after tonight's scrimmage, we'll be able to name a starting quarterback. I know that's what everybody wants to hear. So those guys are competing. They're learning the system. They're learning how to move the team, move the offense down the field and stuff like that. We've been doing a lot of situational work at practice. I'm pleased with them, you know, but we got a lot of work still left to do.
Let's talk about those quarterbacks and just give us an idea of what the mechanics and what characteristics, what ability does each one of these guys possess?
Each one of them hold a unique set of skills, man. And just learning them. You know, you still have to learn your team. So just learning the quarterbacks, the things they do well, the things they struggle with. So we got to keep pushing. We got to make sure we fine-tune the things they do well and help them get better in the areas that they struggle with. So I think Coach Todden is doing a good job of coaching them up, man. He's very detailed. And who's better to teach you than one of the best that ever played in this conference? So I'm pleased with the room. I'm pleased overall with their progress. Still got some work to do, though. So we'll start with like a T-Set. T-Set got a unique set of skills, man. He's very mobile. He's very nifty. He's what you want to call one of the dual threat guys. He can stand in the pocket and throw it. Then he can get out on the flank and he can do some stuff too on the move. So that'll add a different dimension for us. Noah Biden.
He's kind of the old man in the room now, isn't he?
Man, it seemed that way. Like he got three babies on there, but he's doing a good job, man. He's trying to lead by example, but alive on. He can stand in the pocket and he can throw it with the best of them. He's improving on his mobility part, so he has sneaky or deceptive speed. If he get out there, he take long strides, and before you know it, he done went by you. So he's been working hard, man. He done improved this game. Great kid, man, great talent. So just looking for him to keep improving. Then you got a Jalen Wood. He's probably the smartest on the team. I think he had a 4.0 in the spring. So he's one of them guys that's going to study. He's going to make sure everything is right. And he's playing at a high level as well. And then you got a kid named Angelo. You know, he just got here this summer. So he's still learning the system. I wouldn't say he's that far behind. He's picking it up fast, but we're spoon feeding him. We don't want to overload him. We're just giving him some. And I think they all complement each other. So it's going to be interesting to see who wins the job and just see who takes leadership of the team and lead us to where we're trying to get to.
Because that's all they ask me, every coach. I'm sure you get stopped out. Who going to be the court? Hey, man, look, I'm talking to him now, y'all. So y'all here, it's still a battle going on. Don't be asking me. Coach, let's move over to the guys that's going to protect them, to set up that pocket for them to step back and make those passes. Let's talk about the offensive line. You got Joshua Trash Jr., of course, named to the second team All-SWAC selection. But then you look at the rest of those guys. You guys brought in a lot of guys to try to feel some depth on that offensive line that somewhat struggled last year. And ultimately, Coach, I think what a lot of people want to see is the discipline. We had a lot of false starts last year that ultimately killed third down drives.
Well, after the first scrimmage, even the refs had to give us a compliment. The offensive line didn't have one holding penalty nor one false start. And I don't want to jinx us, but that's a huge improvement, you know, from the previous year. So Coach Nivens is doing an excellent job with those guys. We brought in by 20 old linemen. They're learning to play with each other. They're learning how to gel together. And it starts up front. If you can't block, then, you know, it's going to be a long day. So I think they're doing a good job. I'm very pleased with that group, and hopefully that they keep playing together for one another and growing within the offense.
Give us some names of some of those guys on the offensive line that can turn some heads to the Jaguar Nation.
You got Joshua Trask. He's coming back. He'll probably end up being the starting center. You got Cam Foster, played last year. He'll probably start up being the starting left tackle. Got a transfer in Antonio Sanders at the left guard. You got another transfer, DeAndre Richard, at the right guard. And you got another transfer in Courtney Lyles at the right tackle. So got some new faces up there. But right now, those are the guys that are going out there first unless something changes after the scrimmage today.
That's what we call the buffet busters. Them the boys right there. You got to feed them and take care of them because they'll protect you when the time is right. Coach, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side, Coach. Let's talk about the running backs, the wide receivers, and tight ends. You good to stick with me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal.
Watching the Southern University Human Jukebox. Click here to watch more videos. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there. Hope you guys are enjoying today's show, man. Great show as we got Coach Mark Frederick, Southern University Offensive Coordinator, on the line with me right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Good morning.
Let's jump right back into it. We talked about the quarterbacks. We talked about the offensive line. Now, let's jump into that running back room. We know Kendrick Rimes was the workhorse for this offense last year from the running back position. But now what does that room look like? And these, you're talking about the baby. These your baby. These your boys. That's your room right there.
Yeah, man, I think I got a stable. I got a stable of backs that can all participate and carry the load. You got Kendrick Rimes. You got Kobe Dillon. You got C.J. Russell. You got Braylon Morgan. You got two freshmen in Remo and Gabriel. I think they all can contribute to this offense, man. And one guy doesn't have to just, you know, just carry the whole load by himself.
And these backs are – you know, they're not the big power backs, right? These are some shifty guys.
You know what? They all, I think, Ryan, Russell, and Kobe are the bigger ones. They, you know, they between 190 and 205. They're not the big power back that you're looking for, the 6'2", 210, 220.
Woo!
But they can pack a punch. Now, they can pack a punch. So, hey, just put it out there. We are looking for a big power back. So I think we've found one in the recruiting process. I don't know how much I can speak on that. But hopefully, you know, we get some more guys like him.
Hey, come on to Southern, baby. We'll take one of those right there. That bruises, they call it, up the gut, up the middle right there. Get those first downs and those touchdowns. Let's move over to – I want to talk about the tight ends because interesting position, right? Coach Fred McNair, former Alcorn head football coach, has now come in. And, man, listen, you got two former head coaches in Willie Todd that was at Valley and Fred McNair that was at Alcorn, and two legends within themselves on the offensive side of the ball as former quarterbacks right there in that room with you, man. First of all, that has to be very helpful with the experience of those guys. But when you look at that tight end room, I have heard rumblings, and you give me some idea of what that room is, and then I have the conversation with you. But what does that tight end room look like under Coach Fred McNair?
I think the tight end room was probably the most explosive coming out of the spring. And then we just added another piece, man, that I'm happy about. Coach Graves is happy about. The offensive staff, the offense, the team, everybody is excited about this young man.
What's his name?
Ethan Howard.
Oh, my God. That's where I was going to go there. Listen, I am a fan, and Ethan Howard don't know me. I call him Big Hands Ethan Howard. I thought at one time he had the best, especially coming out of, and for a lot of fans that don't remember, Ethan Howard was a integral part of this offense during that spring 2021 season. Man, you talking about has hands, can move. I like this kid a lot. I thought he had the best hands on the team at the time, but that's a great addition to get back on this team, Coach.
Yes, sir, without a doubt, man. Had a chance. Not saying it good, but we had a chance to play against him. And, man, you know, just watching him, and now I get a chance to coach him and you know, add him into the offense, man. The gumbo O is cooking.
Woo!
Just know that.
You put potato salad in your gumbo?
Hey, it's a mixture of a lot of good ingredients, man. Everybody got their own flavor, but, hey, this is a mixture of a whole lot of good spices.
I like Ethan Howard, man. I really do, and that makes me excited about him coming back. What are the other guys in that room, in the tight end room?
Man, you talking about Dupree Fuller.
He looks the part, Coach. I'm sorry, but when he steps off the bus and you see this kid, you have to ask, who is this kid? He looks the part.
Unique set of skills. The tight end room should be very exciting this year. You'll have 3 to 4 guys that at any moment could change the outcome of a game. Big playability, blocking, not only, you know, receiving the ball, but they can block as well. So that's going to help in the running game. So I'm excited. I know Coach Mack excited. We just keep getting better, man. That's all I can say.
I like that. Let's jump over to the wide receivers. This is always the area where I circle because they say the quarterback got to give it to somebody, and these are your skill position guys. What does that wide receiver room look like?
Man, they coming along. To say you only return 2 to 3 guys with, you know, significant playing experience in Whitfield, Kirkwood, and Darren Morris. We added a couple transfers and a couple high school guys. And, man, I like the room. I like the room. They keep improving. Sometimes at practice, you're like, man, come on, we got to be more consistent.
Yeah.
Then when the lights come on, you know, in the first scrimmage, man, they play lights out. They play lights out. We got guys flashing. They showing that they want to be a part of it. They want to help contribute. They learning the offense. And, you know, I tell the quarterbacks all the time, I say, hey, man, the tight end is your best friend.
I promise you. Dump it off to him.
Saying, right. The wideouts keep saying, nah, Coach, we're going to make him all right. We're going to be okay. So, I love their attitude, man. I think Chandler Winfield is doing a great job of leading the group, and I think they're going to be awesome, man. As the season goes, we got a couple transfers. They're going to show up. Trust me.
I'm looking forward to it, Coach, and look, you just excited me back, you know, with Ethan Howard, man. I'm a huge fan of that kid, man. I can't wait to just truly shake his hand. He was a freshman at the time, And he departed from the program, but I'm glad you guys found a way to get him back. The potential of him is tremendous. And for the Jaguar Nation, if you can remember, if you don't, I think you will be able to see the potential in this kid is tremendous. Coach, what is it like with your coaches? Like, let's go through those coaches quickly. I got about 3 minutes, but as I talked about, Fred McNair, Willie Tytton, two former head coaches in this conference and two household names around the conference, just to have those two guys as well as the rest of your staff.
We'll start with them two guys. You know, they older guys. They bring a lot of knowledge and experience. Both of them played quarterback. I think Coach Mack was a receiver his first 2 years. We'd be talking about the old days. He said he was a receiver his first 2 years before he played quarterback. But Coach Tytton be talking about how they used to run the offense and stuff, man. It's easy. Put it that way. You already love what you do, so I don't call it work. I get to come and hang out with a bunch of guys that love what they do. Pour into these young men and get them ready, man, to be, you know, productive people in life, not only on the football field. But, you know, having the likes of a Coach Nivens around, you know, a guy that I know personally. Then you got Coach Barrell coaching the receivers. I just think it's a great offensive staff, man. I mean, I can't complain one way or the other. If I'm struggling with something, I got some guys I can lean on. I got guys that's always bringing good ideas and stuff, and, you know, they do a great job of getting their group ready. So I think it's a fun staff. I look forward to the season.
And Coach Nivens, of course, big-time offensive lineman for Southern University coming out of the 90s. So, you know, to have him here on the staff. And now we're starting to watch this offense come together. You're starting to install your offense and get it together. Before I get ready to let you go, what is your takeaway so far as you guys are getting through fall camp?
I'm going to tell you like this. The biggest thing you got to do, everybody want to see the end goal. We're getting the guys to buy into the process. They got to fall in love with the process. And the end goal will take care of itself. But we can't, you know, we can't cheat a day. We can't cheat a rep. We can't take plays off. We can't do stuff like that. And I think as long as they stay falling in love with the process, the end goal is going to be great.
Well, Coach Mark Fresh, what you tell your quarterbacks? Hey, don't give the other band a reason to play, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I love that quote. That ought to be on a shirt. Don't give the other band a reason to play. I love that quote. I heard you say it, so I just wanted to bring that up. But that is a great one. Coach, I appreciate you for coming on this morning, man, and joining us.
Anytime, man. You take care, and I look forward to seeing you out there.
Yes, sir. That is the voice of Coach Mark Frederick. He's the offensive coordinator, Southern University. We got to get ready to get out of here as I'm about down to a little bit under a minute. Want to thank Chancellor John Pierre coming in to the studio this morning talking to Southern University. He is the chancellor of the Southern University Baton Rouge campus, and thank him for coming in and talking about Southern, and thank Mark Frederick coming on talking about the Southern University offense. Man, I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I have truly enjoyed the show. Mike, hey, man, as always, I appreciate you. And for you guys out there listening, be sure to go follow us on our Facebook page and hit that subscribe button on our YouTube. You can go back because somebody's going to ask, hey, I missed the first half of that conversation or that interview. But if you want to share it, this is information, and it's positive, good information, so you're able to share it. So go to our YouTube channel, The Jaguar Journal, hit that subscribe button, and then keep up with us as well as on our Facebook at The Jaguar Journal. Hit that follow and everything else. And I'm Perry White. Hey, I'm glad, I appreciate you guys for the love and support. I'm glad that you guys stuck in. Hey, bright and early on a Saturday morning is pretty rough, but I appreciate you guys, and I love you, and I think, and I'll be back next week at the same time, the same place, because always, it's The Jaguar Journal.
K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
Spend some time, but we're back.
Young people, go on and stand up real quick. Come on. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on.
Come on. They gon' wanna hear some boys.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI,